T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the morning.
Stay here. Stay as long as you can. For the love of God, cherish it.
With Dusty Hera.
That's so sad for my team and me. I'm such a big supporter.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Oh, you can count. Good for you.
And you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot.
On 1080.
It's showtime.
The Fan.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me.
Welcome back to Dusty and Cam in the morning. Obviously, I'm not Dusty. Dusty dealing with a little bit of a family emergency situation. Yeah. So me and Cam going to pick him up, good teammates. Going to ride the rest of the way for Mr. Harrod.
Right. We're gonna ride this out. We're going to do a skeleton crew. It's just going to be the two of us. I wanted to say, you know, sometimes in life things happen in families. And this is it's going to be a tough time right now for Dusty. So we're going to pick this up. I want thoughts and prayers with him and his family. That are going to go through this. I'm sure more details will come out later, but right now we just want all of your thoughts and prayers with Dusty Hera right now, so in his family, because this is part of life, and understanding family is always first, and our job is great. We're going to entertain as best we can and try to hold it together, and it's going to be a little bit. I mean, how many times have I ever sat in the one chair? That would be a no, and so we're going to try to give a lot of fun to the rest of the show, but I want all of you guys to have thoughts and prayers for the Hera family right now.
Yeah, absolutely. We are going to keep this thing, or at least try to keep this thing on the rails. So again, as Cam said, we're thinking about Dusty. He's got some family stuff he's dealing with. He'll give us an explanation on that all in a little bit. But right now, it is 7:06.
What's hot?
Spoken.
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Brought to you on the fan by Area Heating and Cooling, your local trained comfort specialist. Online at areaheatingandcooling.com. It's hard to stop a train.
All right, Cam, let's start this thing off. This NCAA tournament is hot. Oregon Ducks getting a 12 seed after winning the Pac-12 tournament.
Yes.
The Pac-12, though, getting 3 teams in. I don't think many people saw that coming, considering how bad the year was for the Pac-12. Obviously, they would not have gotten 3 teams in had Oregon not got that auto bid.
Do we count the fact that that play-in game is considered getting into the tournament? Because I know everyone says this and says, oh, it's still a play-in game, but you know what? ASU got a shot to get in.
Yeah, and you know what? Dusty was mentioning it last segment about how a low seed always comes out. It seems like every year there is a play-in team that wins their play-in game and then also wins their actual first game of the tournament. So I don't know. Maybe ASU is that team, but what do you think about your dog's draw?
I think I like an 8-9 draw. I mean, that's nothing wrong with that. I'm sorry if you're going to get there. No matter what, I felt that Washington was going to get in. There was some nerve-wracking times because it's been a while since UW's got in, but they got their butt waxed. Sorry, got a tip of the cap to Oregon because they played really, really stinking well.
CJ McCollum going to be using a little bit of ice after a knee injury over the weekend, but we got good news on Sunday. We'll talk about it more specifically and what it means for the Blazers next, but had a knee injury Saturday. It didn't look very good, but we find out yesterday that it's something that, I don't know, I can't pronounce. Can you pronounce that?
Say it again, because I don't really know what it is. We know it's the back of the knee muscle.
Yeah, I don't even have that the name of that, whatever part of the body that is, in front of me. It's like Politius or
it sounds Politius? Greek. It's all Greek to me.
Yeah, it's Greek or Latin. I feel like everything from the medical
Here's
field.
The good news is that when CJ got the x-ray after the game, there were concerns because what he came out and quoted was the fact that I felt something in my knee. It didn't feel right. It felt unstable, but he didn't feel a pop, which is also good. So they got the MRI. Nothing, no ligament damage. So it could be 2 weeks, 1 week. We're not quite sure, but I bet the Blazers are going to make a smart move with Coach Stotts. They're going to hold him out for a while, and that's a good thing.
So they said reevaluated in a week. Sure. How, you know, just coming from an athlete's perspective, obviously they're not doing anything but treatment for it for that first week. But if they say that they're going to reevaluate in a week, how far do you think that could mean he's out? Three weeks? 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, the Blazers need to find, how many times have we said that they're going to fall somewhere between at this point now with CJ, that's your dead-eye second scorer. There's no way now you're looking at every team in the NBA is going, great, all we got to do is stop one guy, and that's Damian Lillard. He's going to be out. So this is going to make the Blazers are going to fall somewhere between 5 and 6. And don't be surprised if they fall to 7. You can't make up this kind of stretch. There's going to be a road trip. You're going to have some home games too, but I'm sorry. You're not going to miss your number two scorer and tell me that it's not going to affect your entire playoff standings. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah, it could be tough sledding for the time being, especially as they continue to kind of fight it out with the Thunder and Rockets for that third spot in the West. A little South Beach heat for one Ryan Fitzmagic.
Look at this.
I mean, okay, so here's the biggest thing to me about the Ryan Fitzpatrick signing with the Dolphins. For one, we know that Tannehill is gone. He's out, going to be competing with Marcus Mariota and the Titans. But Fitzpatrick, when he throws his first pass for the Dolphins, will have thrown a pass for exactly one quarter of the teams in the NFL. It's eighth team.
With this, I think Ryan, once he's done. Now, I played with Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's how crazy this is. I'm sitting in this chair talking about it, and I played with this guy in his rookie season in 05 with the Rams, and he is still going strong. The fact that I think there should be an award made after him at the ESPYs eventually called the Journeyman Award. Is there a Journeyman Award made? I just created it.
We can make one.
We're going to call it the Fitzmagic Award. From now on, here on, the rest of Dusty and Cam's history, we're going to give out the Journeyman Award, the Fitzmagic Award at times of the ultimate. Think about how many guys or how many teams that he's played for, how many coaches. And the fact, remember when he didn't get his Jets deal and he was sitting out, he was upset and he held out. He wanted $14, $15, $16 million. They're like, we're just not going to pay you. All he did was get 2 years, $11 million, which could escalate to $20 million with the incentives. There's going to be a point where we look back at Ryan Fitzpatrick and go, yeah, you did sit out with the Jets, but it didn't matter because you kept getting paid and paid. And far as I'm concerned, what he did with Tampa last year, he'll win the first four games and everyone will say they're making the playoffs. No, Miami is tanking.
So you think
they're tanking.
The Fitzmagic is going to show itself again for the start of the season, then fizzle out like it usually does?
Well, what do all old people do that are from the East Coast? What do old people do when they're from the East Coast?
They go to Florida.
They move to Florida. Now, he's a Harvard guy. And I think he got the perfect Wonderlic score. So when you're old, where do you go? You move to Miami and you continue to play. Simple. It's easy. I got that figured out.
So what would be cool would be number one seeds for anybody in a power conference not in the ACC. We, of course, have three ACC teams with one seeds, then the final one, Gonzaga. How do you feel about the committee and how they put those seeds out there, Mr. Cleland?
The ACC. I think that's, it's the best conference in basketball. It's not even close. So what do you like about it? I like everything about it. I think all those teams, if you're thinking, I'm picking chalk to go all the way through. It feels like it. It's a 1 and 2 seed. There's a couple upsets. We get to have fun with this bracket stuff. I only fill out one bracket. Am I a bad guy? You said you fill out like 7. Do you do 7?
No. I do not do multiple brackets. That's Dusty.
Oh,
he does
I'm
a bunch,
sorry.
So I
Dusty's
just,
a multi bracket.
One. He says he does one for his like money bracket that's the same in all of them. I'm the same way. The other thing too is if you do multiple brackets, I feel like you're gonna feel worse when you don't win, when you got multiple entries out there. So I'm gonna roll with one and do it with conviction.
Or if you do have multiple brackets, do you change your bracket, or do you just have one and then you just throw them into a bunch of different pools? Is that what you do? I mean, somebody would do it that way. Or if you're gonna do it, do like some people. What's your number one way to fill out a bracket? You might like your mascots. Your mascot off.
Well, that's what's hot and cool on the Fan, brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling. You can check them out at Area Heating. More with me and Cam in just a little bit when we come back. It is 7:13 on the Fan. All right, it is Buck and Cam back with you here on this Wednesday morning. Is that my case of the Mondays?
Your case of the Mondays coming in early, Ryan.
All thrown off just a tad. Mr. Hare is going to be out with us the rest of the show. He's dealing with a family issue, but we'll hear from him soon, I'm sure. But how about a little Blazers basketball? I know we're talking a lot of NCAA hoops this morning, and we mentioned it just a minute ago in Hot and Cool, Cam, but the Blazers seemingly dodging a bullet here with the injury of CJ McCollum. Now, we obviously don't know how long it's going to keep him out. What we do know is that he's got a knee strain, they're calling it.
If there's a doctor
who wants to give us the phonetics on that, we would love that. Basically, he's got a strain. They're not going to evaluate him for another week, so you got to assume he's out probably at least two. And as I pull up the standings here, find out how many.
Blazers are sitting left in the season. Well, they're sitting at the four seed currently, 42-27. So this is going to come down to: do the Blazers and do the rest of this team, is there going to be a guy that picks up the scoring threat that CJ has? Even if CJ is going to take that time off, so he's going to take 2 weeks off. They're going to reevaluate, which means they're going to do as best they can to inject anything. I'm making this up, but what they're not going to inject plate-rich plasma into his knee. It's not that stressful. You don't have to worry about all the ligaments, which is a very good thing when it comes to the Blazers. But to reevaluate and look at 42 and 27 and where they're going to be later in the year and towards this run, if they sit in the four seed, they could fall to 5 and 6. And what does that mean? Well, it means the Blazers are going to have to really, really find a second guy that's going to be a threat. Who's going to be that second guy that comes off the bench? Or are they going to rotate into the starting situation? Who is it going to be? Is it going to be Curry that comes there? Is he going to be the guy that's going to give you that extra punch? So as much as we want to sit here and say that we always bag on CJ, and I'm not one to tell you that I think CJ is a legit superstar, but he is a huge cog in the piece for the Blazers when it comes, especially down the end of the season and into the playoffs.
Yeah, CJ is a big part of what they do, obviously, you know, as the second leading scorer. But I also feel like it creates a situation that may even be good for the Blazers, in that you mentioned who's going to step up. Does it do something then that creates an opportunity for someone else that gets them rolling before the playoffs?
Well, who's your guy? Who do we think is going to be? I mean, I mentioned Curry. I mean, what's going to be the Blazer plan for that? And that's why you have Coach Dotson. That's why they make all the money.
Yeah, well, picking that player, who that's going to be, you know, I don't know. Just looking at the other shooting guards on the roster, Seth Curry, Rodney Hood, you know, Simons isn't up. Evan Turner. I mean, there are going to be more of CJ's minutes to go around, obviously. I feel like you should be able to find his scoring elsewhere, but when you look at the roster itself, you wonder where exactly that's going to come from. And the other thing that CJ brings, obviously, is all the intangibles. Hopefully he'll be able to spend some time around this team and not be holed up in Portland the entire time.
I don't believe the guys on the roster that we're going to believe that he's not sitting on the roster that can replace CJ. There's no question.
No, definitely not.
So that doesn't really matter at this point. If you're sitting at four, you're limping in to the run, you're going to make the playoffs no matter what. And we've discussed this with Dusty and you and I, and everybody knows that it's a first round or nothing. That's it. I mean, how much confidence do you have in this team to be able to get out of the first round? Realistically, down to your core, do you believe that this Blazers can win? Who do they match up? Well, they play the Spurs. What did the Spurs do? Got physical towards the end of the game, and it just no way. Couldn't find a way to finish. Your shooting wasn't there. Who are you going to be able to beat with those two guards like that? And now that CJ's out, how important is this final stretch? Do you really think that the Blazers are going, we need to hold on to a 4-5 matchup? Do they want to get to the three? I look at this and it's really going to come down to, can CJ get healthy towards the end of the year?
So looking at the standings right now, the Rockets are in the three spot. The Blazers behind them by a game and a half in the four spot. Oklahoma City just half a game behind the Blazers at five. Now, I want to bring this up again because I think it was Friday you mentioned this, or it might have even been earlier in the week, but you had a theory about where the Blazers could end up that you think actually might be best for them, and it is not in the top half.
No, I don't think so either. There's a couple spots. Who do you match up well? If you're going to play, you're certainly not going to fall to the eight. So that would mean you'd be stuck with, could it be Golden State, unless Denver makes the move? The best matchup is with Denver. That's the one I feel like the best matchup is. I don't believe you're beating Houston in a 4-5 if you get there. Certainly Oklahoma City, you've lost four games this year to them. If that's not a straight setup to tell you, don't tell me you feel comfortable with Oklahoma And you're just going to go into a matchup and go, yeah, no problem. We can beat Paul George and Russell Westbrook. They've already beat us four times. But, yeah, we'll take them. No, you're not. You're not going to take that. You're not. Denver's the only one that you can match up well with. And that's not – it's because Denver doesn't have the playoff experience like any of everybody else does. I mean, you want to play Chris Paul, and then the next comment's going to be, well, you've beat Chris Paul before because he always gets hurt. Yeah, okay, that was Gerald Henderson's buns of steel that we use all the time. Okay, yep. And that was the Clippers. That was Blake Griffin. That was okay. But you've beat Houston too. Of course, we've seen that was what 2014 when Dame hits that shot and they beat Houston. That was still LaMarcus Aldridge was still here. So I just more times towards the end of the season, we get like this. We start getting really nitpicky with the Blazers and try to figure out where they're going to land and can we jockey for position to get out of the first round.
And the one thing I'm noticing too is that if they were to make it in up to the three seed, which is where the Rockets are now, they're game and a half behind that right now, they'd be playing the Spurs, who are on an 8-game win streak right now. The Spurs are red hot. That's the thing about the West, is that it kind of doesn't matter. They are strong all the way through, whereas in the East, yes, the teams are better this year. Yes, there's less discrepancy between the West and the East, but there is not a single team in the West that I would say I would want for the Blazers to play.
Right. So you're sitting with 13 games left in the season. You're going to have a nice home stand coming in. You're going to have Indiana. Okay, then you're going to have Dallas, Detroit, which do you want to play Dallas right now? They're playing pretty well. Then you're going to play Detroit, Brooklyn, and then you're going to go on the road, which I think will be those four where you go Chicago, Atlanta, Detroit, Minnesota. Then you're going to come back and finish with Memphis. Two against Denver. You're going to go back-to-back versus Denver. You're going to have a home and away, and then you're going to finish with the Lakers, who are a sad shell, and then Sacramento. It's not an easy schedule, but it's not brutal.
No, I think that especially that you're getting some of these East Coast teams or these Eastern Conference teams at home should help you pick up a couple wins. Listen, it starts tonight. Four-game homestand starting tonight, like you said.
Indiana's a good basketball team.
Indiana's a really good.
They're ruthless.
And was it Friday that we were saying that they're kind of like the Blazers of the East?
Well, they're Blazers of the East, but they kind of sit in that same that nobody gives them any credit. They lose their stars, and all they do is find ways to win because Mac 10's their coach, Nate McMillan. I'm a big fan of him because you remember him as a Sonic. He was also a Blazers coach too. But that's just – Indiana's going to be tough. They play a different kind of basketball there. They're going to be physical, and that's kind of what the Blazers have been shying away. And how much is Enes Kanter going to be helping these guys? You're going to get more scoring out of the big. Somebody step up. If Harkless is going to continue to start, somebody has to step up and make some shots because those guys aren't making it. You're going to have – Dame's going to have to score 50. So, yeah. 50, no problem. Just average 50 the rest of the. And he's going to play like 42 minutes down the stretch.
You know what? I actually do like it a little bit when the top running mate will bow out for a team, whether it's the Blazers and it's either Lillard or McCollum, or if it's one of the Splash Brothers with the Warriors. Because every now and then, even though you obviously want those guys together, I like seeing what one superstar can do by himself when he gets pretty much as many shots as he wants. And, you know, I don't want him out here obviously playing hero ball, but these are the kind of games where Dame could go for 50 again, not having CJ at his side.
Well, with CJ hurt, I think all of us had practiced the word Papilidius?
patience, I think, is what we should practice.
Papa Giorgio? I don't know.
What's Vegas vacation?
You pulled that out because I didn't know you got that one, but that was Papa Giorgio. That was Vegas vacation.
Yeah, was it? It was Chevy Chase's kid who won all the cars, right?
Won all the cars, Mr. Papa Giorgio. You get to get it. Hey, Papa Lidius. I didn't know. Look, I've had a lot of injuries in my career. When that came out, I threw my hands up and went, "What? Where is that?"
My dad's had 8 or 9 knee surgeries and both knees replaced. I've now recently sustained a knee injury myself. Well, I have never heard of this part of the knee that apparently is a thing.
I go. So there we go. We learn something new every day. We still don't know how to pronounce it, and I'm not proud of that, but oh well.
Yeah. How's your Papilidius doing?
Yeah. You think it's pop?
I think I added
like
a
plop? Papilidius. Okay, this is going to get bad if
we'll
continue to try this.
We'll check it out, later. During the break.
Pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, when we come back, plenty more coming up. We'll have more NCAA tournament talk, how you fill out your bracket. We'll hit that in the textual relations. Of course, we have Case of the Mondays coming up at 7:45. But up next, a couple retirements in the NFL, plus Fitzmagic in South Beach. It is 7:27 on the Fan. 7:32. on Dusty and Cam in the morning. Ryan Buckley here with Cameron Cleland.
Ooh,
Dusty
you
Hera.
Went full.
I know.
Full syllables.
How
on
often?
Me.
How often do you get the
just
Cameron?
Parents?
Just parents.
Yeah.
Wife?
No.
Doghouse?
Maybe a little bit.
Cameron?
Yeah, I think you get. Yeah. 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 No. No, I think it's rare. How many go out there? How many that are have a full Cameron just go by Cameron?
I don't. I feel like. Have you? When did you start going by Cam? Was it as a kid?
Wasn't my choice. Just everybody shortens it down.
Okay.
Wasn't my choice. I did it.
But
I always I say this every time. I introduce myself as the full Cameron.
Okay.
And then you can choose. Do you want to call me Cam later? I'm going to call me Sam, Blam, whatever you want to do. I get a lot of Clam. Clam is my number one name.
Wait, people think your name is Clam. That sounds like a Starbucks cup disaster.
Problem is there's too many C's afterwards. It's what do I call him? And then Clam comes out. So I've just accepted that.
How often do you get Cleveland?
Every
more
day.
More than you get Clam,
every day.
I bet.
Every day. Every day. So that's why I have such an attachment to the city of Cleveland. The smell of it. The enjoyment. Have you been to Cleveland?
I have never been to Cleveland.
Keep it that way.
Yeah?
Sorry.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it's all right.
Cool? No?
It's all right.
All right.
Played there December 7th. Didn't we talk about this? December 7th, 2003. Played a Monday night game there.
I remember you saying you played a Monday night game there.
Woo! It was cold. It was bad. But it was the Browns. And we won.
Is the only thing to do there go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I think so. Don't they light stuff on fire in the rivers there?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Go to an Indians
rivers
game, I guess.
That. Indians game's not bad. You can do that.
The Jake?
Think about it. They got three teams there. In Portland, we got one. I mean, how unfair is that? You city of Cleveland has the Indians, the Cavs, and the Browns. And we sit here in Portland, as beautiful as this city is, and all we got is the Blazers. And so, of course, we're going to have the Pioneers we kind of settled
on. Sure.
I like the Yetis. Whoever we get, we're getting baseball. Because this city just, I mean, it's not even close to how nice the city is compared to Cleveland.
It's always funny to me when you find out where athletes want to be as far as like certain cities and locales, because a lot of them will say that being on a coast is important or being in a big media market is important. Yeah. But then the money kind of governs it, but then it'll swing back the other way where someone says, okay, I've had enough of this place. But I still don't totally understand it when the money is similar, wanting to go somewhere, I don't know, colder, like people who voluntarily sign with Buffalo and they could have gone to Miami for just a couple million less.
Well, there's a couple places that as a free agent when you're in football that you could just immediately say where we do not want to go. I'm not a we anymore, but I just, during that time when I was getting, it was 2003, I was a free agent. I just left New England and we got calls from Green Bay and I went, oh, okay, I'm going to make a trip to Green Bay. I got a call from the Redskins. And being in Washington, D.C., and I went, okay, it's D.C., that's it. And then St. Louis called, and we were like, oh, this is a no-brainer. I'm going to St. Louis, the greatest show on turf. It was during that run. But there was, if Buffalo calls you or anybody does, because I was listening to last week, Sean Merriman was sitting on the couch with Colin Cowherd. And when Merriman got cut by the San Diego Chargers at the time, now the L.A. Chargers, he was cut and he first went to waiver wires. And we go right to the waiver wire. How does that work? Well, the team with the worst record in the NFL has a chance to bid on you and pick you up. And he was called by, I think it was his, one of the assistant general manager called Sean Merriman and goes, hey, by the way, we're in Buffalo. And he goes, yeah, I know where you're at. And he goes, we're going to take you. He said, don't do it. I don't want to show up there. Don't do it. It's not even close. And he hung the phone up on him.
Wow.
Hung the phone up on the guy. And he's going to offer him a job. He says, nope, don't do it. What do? Calls him right back and says, well, enjoy your flight because you're on your way to Buffalo. And of course, Merriman went to Buffalo, had a pretty good year, got some extension, got some more money, ended up extending his career. Because once you're there, it's Buffalo. And everybody loves
Wait, what
you
does
in
that
Buffalo.
Mean?
Well, because it's what do you expect when you go there?
People in Zubas and chicken wings.
And I've told you this 100 times, and I'll tell you the story. When you come into Buffalo Stadium, you come into Ralph Wilson. It's not renamed now, is it?
But anyway, I don't it's Ralph think so. Wilson. I think it's still Ralph Wilson.
It's still Ralph Wilson. But every time you drive in there, there are kids and they just flip you the bird. And they flip you the bird and the mafia jumps on light
you
up.
You being the team bus.
The team bus. I saw kids, children in gloves, little itty bitty gloves, flipping you off. Parents holding them on their shoulders, flipping you off. And they just, that's what you do there. It's Buffalo.
Dad showing little Billy how to separate his middle finger from the other four in his hand.
Yeah, they don't care. Because that's what you die for. You live for it. And Buffalo's never going to change, and they're going to get a new stadium, and it's just there's places where, and we say that in the NBA, and I hate to look at the Blazers, and I'll tell you, is that is, do you think of a great free agency destination when you compare going to Portland? I think it's starting to shift a little bit, because if you think of your California, think of how many Californians and people see Portland and go, all right, but it's not a trendy city. It's not where basketball players want to go hang out, but Dame has embraced it, and maybe he draws a little more. But there are certain spots, when I heard Green Bay calling, it's bad there.
Sent a shiver through your spine.
It's who have you? If you, I was in Minnesota for the playoff game. We played in the Metronome in 2000. We played Minnesota. We played Randy Moss and all these guys, and it was they kicked the crap out of us. They have stairways, or they have sky bridges. Have you been to Minneapolis?
No, never.
You can't. There are times when you get downtown in Minneapolis, you can go in the whole town and you don't even go outside.
I've heard about that.
You have bridges, you have sky bridges that connect everything. So you can go shopping, you can do all that. It was so...
How long has it been that way for?
I don't
forever?
Know. That's a good question.
I mean, not obviously forever, but 30 years?
It probably is. Somebody from Minnesota is going to have to chime in, or Minneapolis is going to tell us in St. Paul and tell us why it
was
built that way.
That's pretty genius for city
planning. But it was brilliant because they have everything sky bridge. So you just walk around. It is so dang cold. And you've probably seen the movie Grumpy Old Man when I think of Wabasha. That's what I think I would be. I would be Walter Matthau day in and day out if I lived there. You know, I would say, I would tell everybody to pull your lip over your head and swallow on a consistent basis, because that's how cold it is. And nobody wants to go there as a free agent. But Minnesota, great city. I mean, great state. Minneapolis, great state. City.
So for you, it's as much about like what's there as it is, because obviously the climates of Green Bay and Minneapolis going to be somewhat similar, but one's a real full-blown metropolitan city. The other is like a town.
Even young players, when you're drafted, think about sports. It's one of the only industries where you don't get to pick where you want to go. You're a great college athlete. Where do you get to go? You don't get to pick. You're going to Buffalo. You're the best coder at your university. Okay, you're a high-end doctor. You can pick where you get to go. Sports does not allow you to do that. When you're the best player on Oregon, okay, when Justin Herbert could be a top five pick next year, he could be, it doesn't matter, it depends on where he finishes. He could be a one, he could be all the way to a third round, doesn't matter, but let's pretend he's a top five pick. Does Justin Herbert get any sort of influence of where he goes next year?
None.
No, none. Now, you're the number one doctor at your university at Stanford. Where do you get to go?
Any hospital you want.
In the world. Anywhere you get to go. You can just pick, he can say, you know where I'd like to go? Oh, I'm going to San Diego. So that's the difference with sports. And the more we look at it, and we go, oh, that's why people get so frustrated, and fan bases go, you don't want to be a part of us. Well, I didn't get to pick to come here. But you can establish yourself as a great athlete in those times. But I guarantee you, guys like an Aaron Rodgers, who's getting paid $33 million and dating Danica Patrick, and now he's a NASCAR superstar, he's getting paid whatever he's getting, making all that money, he's still miserable because he has to wake up in Green Bay.
And that, I think, is something that maybe, I don't know if it gets swept under the rug, but I don't think fans truly consider. I know that the fan mindset is often, well, you're getting paid millions of dollars. Just deal with it, man. Like, oh, it must be tough being you. Sure. But realistically, where you are and how you're living affects your well-being, your mental state, all these things. And I think that at least for young guys on their first contract, first drafted, you have to remember as fans that most of them didn't pick where they are.
Right. And think about this, and this transitions into kind of what we wanted to talk about here, but we tangented a little bit. But I'll start it off. You think, I've seen guys in locker rooms, and many times we sit there during two-a-days or training camp, or even though training camp's not what it used to be, it's certainly a lot easier. I was talking to some guys that are with the AAF and how Coach Martz runs it old school, and some of these guys are continuing to play. They're making $75,000, $80,000 a year. Those guys have the spark in their eye. They continue to fight. They want a chance to make an NFL roster. But we had two Oregon guys just recently decide to hang it up. And number one, that comes with Haloti Ngata, who's been playing for 13 years, and he did the Mount Kilimanjaro. Did you see his Mount Kilimanjaro?
I did. If you haven't seen the post, yeah. I tweeted it from the 1080 The Fan account this morning, but you can click his Instagram link, and there he is at the top of Mount Kilimanjaro with a banner saying, I'm retiring from the NFL on top.
So it was, who was it that, I just mind blank. Minnesota defensive end, he rode off into the sunset, played for Boise State. Oh, pass rusher was at Kansas City. You know I'm talking about the text line will help
recently?
Me better you today. No, it was like 3 years ago. Went to Carolina, made it to the Super Bowl with Carolina. Outside pass rusher. Gosh dang it. This is what happens when you're absentee-minded.
But
rides off into the sunset. It'll get there. Haloti Ngata ends up doing it. But then we also lose Max Unger.
Jared Allen.
Thank you.
Thank you from the text line.
Yeah, thank you from the text line. He sat on his horse and he said, I'm riding off into the sunset.
That's right.
Haloti might have just topped it. That's pretty good.
And, you know, I saw a little anecdote about Haloti this morning that when he was drafted, Ray Lewis had previously been complaining about not having an interior defensive lineman to really help him stop the run. And then Haloti slipped to the Ravens at 12, and 7 of the next 9 seasons they were in the top 5 run defense.
What a great career he's had.
Yeah, phenomenal.
And then you have Max Unger, who's the center that was traded for Jimmy Graham to New Orleans. He had a year left on his contract.
Year left, $7 million. Yeah.
$7 million. And I just was previously telling you about guys that are leaving money on the table. When your body gets to the point, there is a fight. There's a desire. There's guys like Tom Brady who are cleaners. And there are ones that get up every single day. And no matter how their body feels, the game is going to kick them out. They're not going to walk away. I've seen it. Seen it in locker rooms where guys are just fighting to stay on the field because their minds and their bodies, they're like, I'm never leaving. I'm never leaving. But the league will always tell you when it's time to go. No matter if you're older, if you're like a Tom Brady who's going to be, he'll tell you he's playing until he's 45. But as you get further into your career, guys like Max Unger is going to hit 10. I always wanted to hit 10. I didn't get to 10. But as he sits here, he's going to wake up in the morning and go, is it worth it? Is the money worth it? Is the lifestyle worth it? Is what I'm putting my body through? Do I have the fight? And you get to that choice with Max, and he's probably thinking, and I'm not speaking for him, but he probably got to the point where he woke up and go, am I doing this for my teammates? Am I being the best player? Because if you remember not too long ago, my former teammate, and I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer, his name was Olin Kreutz. He was in his...
I remember that name.
Yeah, 13, 14 years he played for the Chicago Bears, and Olin was one of the best centers in the NFL, and he was an unbelievable teammate. He went down to New Orleans, and he played the first 5 weeks of the season, and he was supposed to be the stable factor. This was before Max Unger made the trade, and Jimmy Graham, and he just went, he got 5 weeks in, 4 weeks in, and said, I just don't have it. I don't have it. You know, lifestyle change, you move from your family, it's the city, and it just leaves you. And I'm not saying that that's what Max was feeling, but maybe when you get to that 10-year number, he's financially comfortable, it just...
Well, and I've heard, and you can confirm this, that basically that's when football starts to become its most dangerous is when your heart's not really in it or you're not 100% full go into that process and really immersing yourself in it. If you're already thinking your mind outside the game, that it's way tougher on you to actually invest your mind and body in it if you're already kind of mentally 1 foot out the door and that you don't want to play under circumstances that you're not fully feeling it.
Right. All right, there's going to be, and as many times as I tell you, the league will tell you it's not for long. The league tells you when it's time to go. As we watch towards the end of the year and we get to see, even in this offseason, guys that like Earl Thomas that said, I don't know if I can play much longer, somebody's willing to pay you. If Max Unger just decided to take a year off and then got his mind right and felt like his body, he came back, somebody be willing to put him right at the center and he said, we want a veteran, and that's how the league works. It's unique. But it's to the point where if you show that you can play in this league, somebody will be willing to pay you. If you saw what Earl Thomas said, too, just like that, he said, I was going to be Kansas City Chief, but then I was blown away with what Baltimore offered him. $32 million. Guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we are going to get this thing fired up. What do you say we do a little case of the Mondays coming up next? We're a little behind, but we're going to get to that. We still have plenty more to come. We got more NFL talk, more NBA talk, plus how you fill out your bracket. But right now it is 7:46 on The Fan.
It's everyone's favorite day.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
What do you have to complain about?
No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
A Case of the Mondays, part of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On 1080 The Fan.
Just another manic Monday. 55305 is the Better You Today text line. What's grinding your gears this Monday? It's Ryan Buckley and Cam Cleland here with you. Dusty out the rest of today. But we are here to take on your case of the Mondays, and we've already got a couple coming in from the text line. This one jumping out at me, came downstairs this morning and found that the cat brought a dead bird into the house, into the living room. Happy
the
Monday.
Heck? How's your? Do you have a cat door? That's your problem, is you have a cat door.
I guess.
Cat doors. And the things that the cats, you know what cats are going to do. How many times have you ever had a cat?
I have not owned a cat. My family has had cats when I haven't lived there.
Cats love to show off. Love to show off. It's like, look what I caught. They're trophies. And they bring it right there and they drop it right. You got to give them like, oh, nice job there, dude. Appreciate that.
I had a family friend, their cat would put the trophies. They were one of those families that had all the shoes outside the house. No shoes indoors.
I know what you're doing.
But so they had all the little family shoes lined up right by the front door. But one of the cats, you know, would go to the owner's shoe with the prize and leave it in there. So multiple mornings, you know, mom or dad would step on a dead lizard or dead bird or a dead mouse and slide their foot in. Yeah, the cat's doing its job.
Yeah.
But the humans are getting dead animals in their shoes.
So my case of the Mondays is it's a minor case, but I had to come up with something because, you know, it's just the two of us. So I had to just come up with something. So we've been dog sitting a little bit lately, one of our neighbor's dogs.
What kind of dog?
I took a picture with him, and I put it on Twitter last week. He's like your dog. He's a little Labradoodle.
Okay.
His name's Joe. He's a great dog. Cutest little thing on the planet. Just tiny little thing, and he's friendly. But it's always somebody else's dog. So there are rules with somebody else's dog that you got to make sure this dog is well taken care of. Because, as you know, these dogs are not cheap. They're a higher end dog. Could we not say that, Buck? I mean, they're just a.
It's a designer breed. That's what they call them.
It's like carrying around a Louis Vuitton around.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that.
I don't know. So, Joe, he's awesome, but he can kind of do what he wants in his house. In our house, he still tries to do what he wants, which means he leaves presents. So he left us a couple little squat and leave its. And I went, what the? And so do I get mad? Because he doesn't like when you raise his voice. When you raise your voice, Joe does not like
God
it.
God forbid.
Joe does not like that. So I raised my voice and he didn't like that. And we take care of him. So we cleaned it up and it's my son supposed to be doing the majority of it. Well, who do you think it falls on by the time we're done?
Oh, it's always mom and dad.
It's on me. I'm doing everything. So he's jumping up on the bed and he leaves us a couple more presents. So we go to the neighbors because we got to take him because he doesn't like to be alone. He's very social. He's pack animals. Dogs are pack animals.
Yeah.
He does it again in the neighbor's house.
Of course he does.
So am I supposed to be mad at the dog or I just be like, just appreciate that? Because I think he's one. It's a little one. Maybe he's two.
Yeah. So
you're in the same era. One? Is she one?
She's about 10 and a half months.
Is she leaving little presents around still?
She's not, but what she here's the thing, and I don't know if this is what's happening here, but I've had other dogs when they're upset or stressed out because their owners aren't around.
That's
what it is.
Makes sense.
I was house sitting for my dad and stepmom when I was in college once. I had a bunch of people over for a party, and it was it wasn't like rage or out of control party, but plenty of people coming over, and I'm making sure the dogs are going out like every 15 minutes, as I'm making sure to keep the house clean. And sure enough, Max, the Jack Russell Terrier, decides he's going to pop a squat on the dining room floor, and he's doing it while looking at me.
Just like, right
I'm
at
like,
you.
Dude, we were outside 3 minutes ago. But no, it has nothing to do with being able to hold it. It has to do with making a statement.
Interesting. I never thought dogs that way. I thought dogs were like, I'm a good boy. I'm a good girl. I just want to hang out.
They want to please, but they're either protesting or little Joe's a little stressed out.
Yeah, stressed out. That's understandable because I love Joe. I think he's a great dog. Don't get me wrong. I love dog sitting because I'm allergic to dogs and he's hypoallergenic, so I don't have any problems with it. It's kind of like kids. Fortunately, I have kids. But it's like being a grandparent. You get to hang out with the dog, and then you can give them back to their owner later. So that's kind of not a problem. But like this text says on the Better You Today text line, cat crapped in my suitcase.
And then about the—
cats are the devil.
And about cats bringing over little trophies, he said they're basic. This person says they're basically little panthers. What do we expect?
That's true. That's P1 Jess, right?
I do have a dog story that is— my case of the Mondays.
Oh, before I ask this, go. I have to ask because Isaac and Suk had this question, and because Suk he's got two bulldogs.
Okay.
And I think Isaac has a dog. I think he does.
Okay.
Do you believe in dogs outside, inside, or combo?
Combo.
Combo. Is it okay if you let your dog be outside majority of time?
Yes, I think it is.
I do too, because am I under the misunderstanding that animals aren't supposed to be outside?
No, they most certainly can.
What kind of animal is not meant to be outside? It's a dog.
Yeah, I don't know. Our neighbor's dogs are exclusively outdoor dogs. They're not even allowed inside. Yeah. I do have more on my Labradoodle, yeah. But we're a little bit up against the clock, so we will get to that. We can get to that on the other
Means
side
we,
of the break.
We got to follow the rules here.
Yeah, well, occasionally, yeah. But we have a couple more case of the Mondays coming in. Keep sending yours in. We'll keep rifling through them. Got plenty more coming up next hour. Got some more NFL talk. Fitzmagic's in Miami. Russell Wilson in the news. Some contract talk, of course. A little bit of NBA as well, but it's also bracket day. First full day your brackets are out. We're going to ask you how you fill out your bracket. That was our textual relations. We will get to all that in the next hour. It is 7:58 on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.